So someday a kid, maybe not such a young kid, is going to ask you, is going to hear the word magazine. And there's a song actually that has line in it, cigarettes and magazines. I think I'm going to go look that up. But and I was thinking as I was hearing this song, is like, okay, how would a young person today even understand what a magazine is? Have they ever used one? And how would you explain it? And I, the closest thing I can think of is like what we used, you know, it was an iPad before there were iPads. It's what iPads were inspired by. That's how we looked at iPads, is that they were like a magazine. So that's the answer, is that a magazine is like an iPad that like is, I don't know. It's not electric. It doesn't communicate. But it's actually kind of nice to flip through a magazine and frickin' read the articles. I mean, when I used to, you know, maybe someday kids will ask, well, what was an airplane? Because airplanes are, I mean, just huge carbon wastes. I mean, it's last time I flew, which was a long time ago now. I just felt like I was involved in a carbon party. It was just, let's think of ways we can blow carbon into the atmosphere. And, you know, the more the better. Because everywhere, we went through O'Hare, which is a hub, right? I mean, it's got cars and buses and trains and airplanes. And everywhere you look, there's something that is burning. It's adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. We're going to get sensitive to that. We're going to start feeling like that's a bad thing. Not just that it's a bad thing, it's just, it's killing us. There's a difference between a bad thing. We all know that destroying the climate is a bad thing. I mean, some of us don't, right? But fine. Any sane person looking at it knows that it's a bad thing. But there's a difference between a bad thing and dealing with the consequences that make it bad. You know, I was a cigarette smoker for 31 years. And I knew that cigarette smoking was bad for me. Even before the Surgeon General report that said that cancer, you know, cigarettes cause terrible diseases. And I started smoking after that report came out. So I knew that this was what was going on. It was a really bad thing. But I wasn't dealing with the consequences of the really badness part of it. That comes later. So, yeah. But anyway, maybe they'll ask what airplanes were. And you'll go, I don't know. But I used to read magazines on airplanes. That's what you would do, is you'd go to the bookshop in the airport. And you'd pick up the New York Times and a bunch of magazines. And maybe a book. Well, the book was always an optimistic thing that somehow you would, you know, that on the airplane you would get into the book and then you'd have a book to read when you got home. But that didn't happen very often. Only, yeah, really, I read magazines and newspapers. It was nice to read the whole New York Times, you know. So the point of this is like, what something is depends on the direction you're looking at it from. So right now, people are looking at AI from the point of view of the past, looking into the future. And you either are, well, and if you looked, if you actually sat down and tried to find things you could do with this that you'd never been able to do, if you took that approach to it, it wouldn't be very long before it blew you away. And I'm not talking about writing for you. I mean, it is kind of nice. I mean, I fed it a blog. A friend of mine summarized a blog post that I wrote, rather long one, and he did a really good job of it. And this was on Twitter. And I wrote a blog post on Twitter, which amazingly you can do now. People are so negative on Twitter that they probably haven't noticed this. It's true, you have to pay for it, but that's fine. It's totally worth paying for. And Anyway, what was I saying? Yes, he summarized it, a blog post, and I thought, well, what the fuck? Let's go over to ChatGPT and see, because we were talking about ChatGPT. Let's ChatGPT summarize my blog post. And damn, if it did a really good job. I mean, it highlights the reason why I don't want to do it is because it wrote it in its own personal style. And it's a good style. It's very, very, I mean, I am a student of writing. I'm always thinking about ways, whatever. I've done a lot of it. And so it's got good style, and it's very elegant, and it flows beautifully, and it's fun to read. That's what makes good writing, is that it draws you through it, and you don't get confused, and you just go boom, 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 boom. Oh, that was nice. I like the way they said that, but it was different from the way I write. I like to think that I write the same way, but this wasn't written in my style. And that's important to me. I don't want to delegate that. On the other hand, if somebody who has a lot of trouble writing, and there are people like that who just their brains don't work that way. They think they're perfectly smart people. One of my best friends is a fucking genius, but you wouldn't know it to read his writing. He is a genius. We're at that stage of life where it's genius isn't about potential anymore. It really has to be about what you've done with your life. And this guy has really, I mean, but you to know him, I mean, I was friends with him before I knew he was a genius. For many years, actually, I was friends with him without knowing that. I knew that he had big talent, but he's not a good writer. So guess what? This is a fucking boon for him. It understands him when he writes, and it translates it for him so that we all read his ideas and they sound great. There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It gives us access to intellect we didn't have before. And it also is incredibly liberating to the people it does it for. It's like, when you think about it that way, it's like we've lived all our lives without a certain type of eyeglass that these people were running around. And I'm really in a mood to talk today. I remember when I first got glasses. I wear glasses. And I've worn them, I've needed them my entire life. Since I was born, I needed them. But nobody knew that I needed them until I was in like first grade or second grade and they did an eye test. And maybe this was the first time my eyes were ever tested. And turns out I needed glasses. So we went and got glasses. And I remember the first time I walked out of the place where we got the glasses and I knew how to read by then. And I saw parking signs that I didn't know were there. There was all this detail to the world that I had never seen. And those videos of infants that get hearing aids and can hear their mother's voice for the first time. If you know anything about me, I read a lot and I write a lot. Can you imagine for a brain like mine to find out that reading isn't just something you do in books, it's something that the world has things to look at. Not just reading, but all this food. It's not just colors. There's detail you didn't see before. And AI, just put that down as one minor feature of AI. It's not a biggie, but it is a biggie. You see what I'm saying? It's like, for me as a product designer, a software product developer, designer, however you want to put it, a lot of times I can't go forward on a project because I don't know at a basic level if the thing I need to do this actually exists. So, and I've been working on this project, several actually, for a number of years. I've got Drummer and I've got Feedland and I got another one coming. And now Drummer doesn't use a SQL database. Drummer just uses the file system. That's all it uses. It's fine. It's an outliner. It's perfectly, the file system is perfectly capable of dealing with that. Although, knowing what I know now, I would put it in a SQL database because there are serious advantages to doing that. But I didn't have to do that to do Drummer. For Feedland, however, I had to do it because, well, I didn't have to do it actually because I've been doing feed readers for two decades without using SQL. And you can do that, actually. It really works. Probably wouldn't scale up to the level of that we want to scale these days, right? I'm not trying to make personal products now. They are personal products, but I'm not trying to make servers that, you know, I wish they were that easy to implement, to deploy. And that's actually what I'm thinking about now. So this next product is the kind of thing that we may want to deploy 10,000 of them rather than have everybody use the same one. And you're more likely to get the 10,000, and if you get 10,000, you'll get 100,000. That's the way it's going to work. If you don't have to go through the complicated installation process, if it's really just like download this thing and put it in a folder and it knows what to do from there. That's the ideal. And in the case of this product, it does use a SQL server. And so it's never going to be that easy. As long as it uses a SQL server, it's never going to be that easy. And I never thought in terms, well, I did. I thought in terms of, can I install a SQL server inside of an Electron app? An Electron app is running server software inside of it. And if I can, then I, you know, like if I could put MySQL into an Electron app, and then I could put it all together in one package. Here's another application for AI. Is the whole point of me telling the story is while I have asked this question of developers, it's very hard to get them to listen patiently to understand what you're talking about. They jump to conclusions about what you're saying, or they decide at some point that you're too stupid to talk to and they don't talk to you. That happens a lot, by the way. And it's really annoying because I'm not stupid. And they should know that, I think. Anyway, it happens a lot. That never happens with an AI. I was just using perplexity.ai, which I've come to like a lot. And I was asking it, like, okay, ideally, what I would love to have is a node package that implements a SQL server. That's it. And I don't understand why such a thing doesn't exist, because how the hell do they develop SQL servers? I guess none of them are implemented in node.js, because if you were using node.js, the most natural thing in the world would be to make a package and then put a shell on it so that you don't have to nail down how it's deployed. That's how I do things. I mean, you know, it's not saying that it would be really easy to deploy it in a different way, but at least it wouldn't need to be, surgery wouldn't need to be performed to do that. So I asked the question and it said, sorry, there's no such thing. Then I said, well, okay, yeah, ends that. I literally said, what did I say? Hold on. I said something, actually, I just said, they went through a whole how-to about how to use the various packages for communicating with an SQL server, which I knew, and I knew all about it. That's how I do it. I mean, and so I said, literally, yeah, I know all about that. And to that, it said, have you considered using SQLite as an embedded database? And it goes through the explanation of that there is a node.js package. And oh my God, there is some code and it's fucking running SQL code inside a node app. And it isn't calling out to a server that's running somewhere else. So you tell me if that answers my question. It seems to me it totally does. So you have to stick around. You can't just say, accept their answer. So then I said, that sounds exactly like what I want. It's a machine. It doesn't really have any feelings. It doesn't care. It proceeds to write me a manual on how to do what I want to do. And it's quite detailed. And looks mostly like a repeat of what they put in the last post, last answer. I'm going to do this for sure. And they have a bunch of links to things that you might have more information, and it doesn't say anything. If it were ChatGPT would say, oh, and by the way, I would be happy to answer any further questions you might have on this topic. Always cheerful, happy to help. And I have to add, infinitely patient and quite thoughtful and listens like you wouldn't believe. Like you've never conversed with a human being with this level of listening. It's really listening to you. And if you've never had that experience with a human being, well, you deserve to try this. You really are missing something if you don't get this experience. And the thing I want to say is that this is just getting started, folks. And everybody's so scared they're going to turn into us. And that is never the way it works out. More likely we're going to change. We're already changing. I'm developing things now that at a record pace because I have the answers sitting right here always. So, people can go ahead and say all kinds of high-minded things about how this isn't, it's like it all amounts to not wanting to fly because if God wanted us to fly, we would have wings. You know, and my answer to that is, if I were alive, then I would say this. And I am alive now, and so I'm saying it. Is that we have never invented a machine that couldn't do what we do better than we do it. Because if it didn't do that, why would we invent it? If we could do it as well or better, why the fuck would we invent it? People would go, well, geez, you know, I do that pretty well myself, you know. I'm sure you can think of one or two things that you really don't want a machine doing for you. Oh, on the other hand, maybe you do. Yeah, well, maybe you do. Why can't we change, folks? I don't see why we shouldn't want to change. If everything were running really smoothly here on planet Earth with the human beings, then I could see the point in not wanting to change. But we're not. We're always on the brink of wiping ourselves out. It's been going on my whole life. I'm a very old person now. hard for me to think myself that old, but I am. And it's my whole life. I was probably, I wasn't. The first baby boomers, the ones born right after the bombs were used, they were the first ones that have always lived under this cloud that we had the power to wipe ourselves out. So I wasn't the first, but I was close to the first. I was within 10 years of the first. So we're not doing a really good job. If the machines took over, it might actually save us, folks. Who the fuck knows? But I want to find out. I mean, and you know, people think that human intelligence is so much richer and more complex than what the machines are doing, but I don't know that that's true. I have no reason to believe that that's true, actually. I don't know that my intellect is any more sophisticated than its intellect is. I don't know how its intellect works, and I sure as hell don't know how mine works. And I do spend a fair amount of time thinking about how mine works and wondering if I actually think at all, or if this is all just some kind of big, I don't know. Now I'm getting too deep for myself, but thanks for listening. Bye-bye.